This is the day wiped away, shattered hearts are mended, fears are replaced with joy. This is the day of the Lord. The stone of fear throws off death's clothes, goes ahead of us into God's future. This is the day that the Lord has made. Death holds no fear for us. Sin has lost its power over us. God opens the tombs of our hearts to fill us with life. This is the day, Easter day. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah. Glad you were all with us this morning. I love to see so many people around here, even the people in the front row. That's always wonderful. Especially for Lutherans, you know you're really doing well if you get them to sit in the front row. So that's always good news, too. We'll try to keep it a little brief because always, you know, these Easter services are always jam-packed. But a few quick announcements. One, of course, meetings coming up this week. We do not rest too long here at Bethesda. Monday morning, the Centennial Committee is meeting. Wednesday is the rescheduled Women's Heartland Conference Spring Gathering. So for those that kind of missed out on that when we had to cancel due to the weather, now can come to that this coming Wednesday. Also this Wednesday, choir practice restarts, and so that should be a good chance for those that have been longing to sing or have never done it before but are maybe curious in trying it out. Don't worry, we don't make you sign any sort of multi-year contracts. So you can just come and check it out if you want, and we usually have a pretty good time. And of course, the women's Bible study group won't meet because of the Heartland Spring Gathering, but the men's group will meet on Thursday at 8 a.m. And then, of course, coming up in another week or so, maybe a couple weeks, jelly making will happen again, so I know they're still kind of collecting all the supplies, but definitely keep that on your calendars as well. And then, of course, thanks to all those that helped give gifts in honor and memory of loved ones and family and to help beautify our church. And for those folks that fixed it after, evidently, some of them came crashing down, like, over the weekend. So thanks to those that restored this back to its beautiful visage. Anyway, is there any other announcements we have at this time? Certainly prayers, a number of prayers this morning we'll have in our time for prayers, just for people as well. Maybe some folks saw the news this morning of some, well, I guess they don't know exactly what yet, but certainly some attacks in the island country of Sri Lanka, which is south of India. A number of Christian churches and some hotels as well were bombed, and so we certainly pray for all those that lost their lives or that were injured this day. In that country. All right. Well, if there's nothing else at this time, our opening hymn is hymn 365. 365.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, O living one, for you have created all, and you water the earth abundantly. Oceans and aquifers praise you. Rivers and streams bless you. All life is sustained by you, our source. We praise you for Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who frees us from sin and raises us up to new life. Here at this font, we touch the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing through the city of God. Here death is washed away forever. Here we are grafted into the tree of life, with leaves for the healing of the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this assembly, into this community, and throughout all creation. Cleanse us from our fears and drown our divisions. Grant that all may drink of your mercy and peace, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Receive our unending love and devotion as we celebrate today the undeserved gift of your love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us please read together our psalm responsively, and the congregation begins. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. Give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning in the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, happy Easter. There we go. You know, it's always a wonderful day, the Easter morning. I know we don't have the whole kit and caboodle, not the trumpets, but, I mean, we have this glorious lily cross. I mean, maybe it would have been a little better yesterday, I admit, you know, when the sun was shining. But certainly, you know, we can't look down on a little rain, especially only a week or so ago we had snow. And so it's hard to remember that after the beautiful weather we've been having. It's always been one of the great sort of coincidences of the church calendar that as we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this new life that is coming into the world, that literally, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, there is literally new life coming into the world. You know, from all the plants, all the animals that have been busy over the winter, that there's greenery coming back and color. I mean, maybe not quite yet here this far north. I don't know if a lot of your flowers are up yet, but even if we can't see spring yet, it's not that hard to go outside and just close your eyes and hear spring. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's been almost surprising. It's been amazing. Like, you go out and you hear all these birds, and it's just this cacophony of birds or frogs if you're in a little bit swampier part. You know, just all this life that has sprung back up in our world. As I said, it almost catches you off guard sometimes, like you're all of a sudden in a Hitchcock movie, right? And the birds are about to descend upon you or something. But that's part of the beauty of springtime, and it's such a wonderful coincidence that it happens this time of year in our church as well. And I suppose it shouldn't be that surprising. Most of us have been through a spring before, probably a number of springs before. Even those of you that spent your winters down in Arizona or Florida and maybe have eased into this transition of spring a little bit more than those of us that were freezing our butts off up here, I'm still sure that there is some of this surprising joy that comes along with springtime. And of course, we hear this surprise echoed in our gospel passages, and we especially see it in Matthew. For those that have been coming the last couple months or so as we've been reading through Matthew, you know, Matthew's gospel, he's a great lover of drama. He's the summer blockbuster action movie director of the four gospels. He loves to just crank the volume up to 11, and we see it here again this morning. You know, it's fun to compare it with Mark, which is thought to be the oldest of the gospels, and Mark kind of keeps things a little more plain, a little more straightforward. You know, I mean, paper was expensive back then. It makes a certain amount of sense. But, you know, you compare the two stories side by side, and, you know, the women come to the tomb in both of them, in Matthew and in Mark. But in Matthew, there is this earthquake. There is a great earthquake, or in Greek, seismos megas, which I think most of us could translate, even if we've never studied Greek, right? Seismic and mega, you know, this is just this great, powerful earthquake that is coming. And again, no earthquake in Mark. In Matthew, there's an angel. His appearance is like lightning, and his clothes are as white as snow. In Mark, it's a young man dressed in white. Okay, a little bit different. And rather than this great fear that quakes the guards and of this appearance of this young man, literally it's the same word again, kind of that seismic, the guards are shook by the appearance of this man. In Mark, they're kind of, people are alarmed, they're not fearful, they're just like, oh wow, there's this guy, this strange guy standing here. You can start to understand a little bit that when Matthew, maybe writing after Mark did, is like, okay, this is a good story, but I see things much, much differently. We gotta really catch people's attention here. And Mark even has this sort of great cliffhanger ending where the women are seized with fear. They're told to go share the news. And then the gospel just says, they went in fear and told no one. The end, right? A cliffhanger ending. We assume they probably told someone because, you know, the gospel exists. But it's this great cliffhanger ending. And you can see, again, Matthew going, no, this isn't going to do, right? The women, they go, they tell everybody. And before they even get there, they get to see Jesus too, right? It's this amazing sort of sequence of events that Matthew is just turning up all the volume, turning up all the colors. It's this great wonderful, joyous sort of moment in Matthew's gospel. And it's a joyous, beautiful moment that springs out of a lot of gloom and ugliness, right? Of the suffering on the cross, of the cold gloom of the tomb. You know, it's this great, beautiful moment that finally comes after all this weeping and gnashing of teeth that, of course, Matthew is also really fond of mentioning. You can just sort of see the birds singing and the flowers blooming as the women come to the tomb. This new day dawning in the world. And, of course, there's ugliness of other kinds as well. Not just the suffering of the cross, but, of course, all the political machinations, all the politicking that went on, both in the Romans and in the religious leadership, the ugliness of the people that were once cheering Jesus and now are calling for his crucifixion. You know, we know that our world, as much as there's been some great improvements in our societies around the world, that we still have this same kind of ugliness. We still have a lot of work to be done. We have more safeguards. We have more ways of ensuring that the hungry are fed, that the sick are cared for, that there's checks and balances in our government at least. And yet we know that people still suffer, even when we don't intend it. And we know that sometimes people do intend it. So often we do feel like we live in that gap between Good Friday and Easter, where we are just waiting and hoping for the joy, but not sure yet if it's coming. You know, there's this interesting concept of beauty, I think, in our world. We don't often think of it as a theological concept, because a lot of times beauty, you know, all the common sayings, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Beauty is only skin deep. You know, we think of it as this very shallow kind of a thing. We may appreciate it, but we don't often think that it really is this deep, powerful concept. And yet beauty can be deeply spiritual. Easter morning is this beautiful moment, but it's not necessarily beautiful in the same way that we always think of the term. And yet, I read something really interesting this week. It was by a Finnish pastor by the name of, I don't know Finnish. I'll have to get some of the good Finns out there to help me with this later on, but a Finnish pastor by the name of Mika Anttila, who noted that although the cross is, of course, not beautiful in itself, that in fact it is something that represents something very ugly in the world, this pain and this infliction of pain on another person, that as a symbol of the saving work of Jesus Christ, the cross is necessary for us to appreciate true beauty. Mika writes, "Without the Son of God, who has gone through death and suffering, all the beauty in the world would be a vain entertainment, a deceptive surface that hides the cruel reality. In the end, it is the beauty of our life that gives the ultimate meaning to the resurrection." I think what the pastor is saying is that appreciating beauty in our world connects us with appreciating the gifts of God, that we are blessed with this world, that we are blessed with our lives, and that there isn't some end that where we just give in to all the worst parts of our world, that at the end that that's all that awaits us is just suffering and death, that there is this renewal of life that keeps refreshing over and over again. And if we didn't have that promise, then all the beauty would really truly be skin deep. Of course, the trick is with appreciating the beauty that God brings in our world is that we may need to let go of the other things in our world which we have often thought of as beautiful, but maybe really isn't once we dig beneath the surface a little bit. All those things that we thought of as beautiful, or maybe just sensible, or maybe just the way that things were done, or maybe just the way that things are and we're never going to be able to change them, and that they're the best we can hope for. But as we go forth from Easter, it is that hope which instills a new appreciation for the real beauty of God, for the real joy that God seeks to bring into our lives and into our world, the love that is coming in to fill us and remake all the things that are ugly and broken, that there will be this great restoration of our world. And it will take time, right? That's been, of course, the message that we've been hearing as well throughout Lent and certainly during Holy Week. It will take time, but God is now beginning fully to start setting things right. And one of the great ways we see this, of course, right here from the very beginning, from the very first moments of the resurrection story, is with the women, right? They are the first people to meet this angelic messenger. They are the first evangelists. They are the first new prophets of the good news, the loyal apostles who came to the tomb while the men were in hiding. You know, I saw a little funny post this week online, a sort of fake announcement that a church could put out on their website or maybe on their sign out front that in honor of our gospel story, our Easter service this week will only allow women to attend, right? Which maybe is a good idea to do once in a while. You know, the women could come here, the men could be home, right, getting the Easter dinner ready. I think maybe we might have to try that out, right? In honor of our gospel passage that only the women came to the tomb. Give the men the work back at home. But of course, it's this amazing thing, you know, this shock to the system. Because, of course, the Bible so often feels very guy-heavy, you know, representing the sort of the prejudices of that time. And here there are these women who were the most bold, who were the most loyal, and who now are the first ones to share the news, the first ones charged with setting this whole thing into motion. And I think that was meant to be a shock. As much as the earthquake was meant to be a shock, and the guy with the white lightning kind of apparel, that these women were meant to be a shock to the system of all those men hearing about the good news in the, you know, in the third and fourth and fifth and so on retelling of this story. And we know that even today this can be a bit of a shock to the system. They're not all Christians that put women as equal leaders as men. I know even in our church, which has allowed women to be pastors for, what is it, since the 60s or 70s, that I know some of my female colleagues still suffer against some prejudices and stereotypes. But it seems so clear to me that if the gospel message and the resurrection story are all about tearing down and rebuilding all that had been broken and become ugly in the world, that the first thing that needed fixed was to lift women up as equal voices to men. And so this is just the first step of many, I think, that God will do, the first of many surprising moves that God will continue to work into our world, beginning 2,000 years ago and continuing up until this very day. That God's great news, that God's beauty that God will bring into our world, that it is often going to be surprising and a little shocking, and it'll come through people maybe we didn't expect, but we probably should have expected. We had just been going on in a way that just really, truly wasn't working for us. And now there is this great new message that we should have gotten all along, but God is finally starting to set right in our world and starting to set it right through us. That it's not just that we are called to appreciate the beauty of the world, but that we are called to make our world ever more beautiful. And not just beautiful in a skin-deep sort of sense, not just in an eye-of-the-beholder kind of sense, but make it in a truly deep sense, that we make our world a place that is more filled with blessings and that we more appreciate those blessings that we have. You know, whether or not the day is raining or the day is sun shining, we can still appreciate the blessings of rain. Maybe not if it's raining too much. We certainly know floods are an issue that is going on right now as well. But we do know that plants need things to grow, that the beauty that comes from our flowers needs the rain to fall. Or at least someone with a hose, I guess. But that is another way that we can serve the beauty of the world, that we can serve the other lives that fill our creation. So today is the day when the stone is rolled away, when the earth shakes, when maybe we should shake a little bit too. Maybe out of fear, maybe a bit out of mourning for our old lives that are passing away. But hopefully also we are shaken by the beauty and the wonder and the joy of God. Amen. Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Alleluia. God, you are resurrection. Bring joy to your church as we spread the good news that Jesus is risen. Lead us to proclaim this message with persistence and confidence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Alleluia. God, you are Creator. Open our eyes to the first fruits of new life around us, to budding trees, nourishing rains, warm breezes, and freshly tilled soil. Inspire our gratitude and renew our commitment to stewardship of the earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Alleluia. God, you are reconciliation. You show no partiality among the nations, but instead call all people to the way of peace. Bring an end to conflict and division. Renew leaders and advocates for peace with a commitment to the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Alleluia. God, you are strength. Awaken hope and perseverance in all who need to hear a word of life this day. Those who are hungry, anxious, oppressed, despairing, or sick. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Alleluia. God, you are life. We give you thanks for all the newly baptized, who by water and your word are forever joined to Christ's death and resurrection. Embolden all who share this baptized life and renew us in faith and in action. Hear us, O God. Good and gracious God, we lift up prayers of our community this morning. We remember in prayer Ron and Carol, Ted, Gary. We remember in prayer LaVon Tintus, the mother of Judy Burke, and all those in her family mourning her passing. We remember in prayer people who live halfway across the world from us as well. We remember in prayer those people in Sri Lanka suffering from the recent attacks there. We also remember in prayer, O God, all those places suffering from violence, from disaster, all those who need your help. Be with those who are grieving, those who are suffering, and those who are bringing help into those difficult and dangerous places. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that might be on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Gracious God, please also be with all those who are traveling this day to visit family and friends so that they may celebrate this day of your resurrection with those that they love. Alleluia. God, you are comfort. Draw near to all who grieve. Refresh us with the promise that you will destroy death and that with all the saints we will be made alive forever in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Risen One, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and all for your love's sake. Amen. Holy and loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family safely through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death, in his glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gives everyone a place at the welcome table. Alleluia. Come to the feast. You may be seated.